We come before you in this moment. We thank you that you bring peace in the present situations of our life, that you bring hope and life, that you are the one who can guide and lead and direct us. God, we come before you in these moments. We pray that you'd speak to us. We thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Our family loves to travel, and when our kids were like in elementary school age, we kind of realized like we wanted them to experience a lot of the United States and not just kind of picture their whole world as this little place in Michigan that we lived at the time. And so we kind of planned out some big trips along the way to the West Coast, the East Coast. And one of the trips that we took was to the East Coast. It was 17 days. It was Washington, D.C., and New York, and Boston, and Montreal, and Toronto, and Niagara Falls, and Gettysburg. And it was probably a little too much, but like we had a blast, and we took this road trip. And we started the trip on the very first day, right after church. And we had to drive from the west side of Michigan over to Detroit, across the Windsor Tunnel into Canada, and then over to New York State. And we were spending the night just over in New York State that night. So we had a decent amount of traveling to go, and then obviously thousands of miles of traveling over the next 17 days. And so we stopped in Grand Rapids, which is about 30 minutes from where we lived. And in Grand Rapids, there's a specialty shoe store. I had some old running shoes that I needed to get replaced before the vacation started. Got the running shoes, and it was like, okay, vacation is now officially on. Jennifer hit the playlist on her phone, and Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi was the first song. And we, as a family, we turned it up, we cranked it up. And I don't know if you ever saw Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that old movie, but I was John Candy. I don't suggest this in driving, but I was John Candy driving with my knees and just ripping it on the lead guitar. And I was incredible that day on the lead guitar. By the time that we got done with the song, though, I totally missed the entrance. I had no clue where I was, like totally lost in a town that I had been in hundreds of times. I was like, I don't have a clue where we're at, but I refused to use the maps on my phone because I'm like, it's Grand Rapids. I know this town, but I was totally lost. I don't know about you, and if you had to narrow it down, I don't want to like get you like off track, and so the rest of the morning you'll be thinking about this, but like if you could only pick a couple apps on your phone, like what would they be? Like for me, I don't know if it was just one, if it would be maps, but if there was three or four, it certainly would be because I like use it all the time. Like everywhere I go, I'm using the maps app, and you know, it's so easy to get lost. It's so easy to get off track in our life, to not know where we're going in any kind of road, any situation. And as we moved to St. Louis, man, I was like using it all the time, right? Because I had to figure out where I'm going, and there was roads I didn't know and had to kind of know where I was navigating myself to. I think over these last, especially several weeks, and you think about the very kind of public assassination of Charlie Kirk in front of like thousands of people and on cameras and social media and all this stuff. So like it's just there in the middle of the daylight, like we just like you just see it. There's a sense in which that we feel, and maybe it was just like a tipping point with like lots of other stuff where it just feels like, man, something's not right. Like somehow as a country or whatever, like we're not on the right track. And no matter what your political bent or no matter what kind of situation, like it was like there's something off here. It feels like we're a little bit lost. Maybe as a country, maybe as people. What's been interesting to watch over these last several weeks on social media, thousands upon thousands of people, especially younger people, saying like, I need to go to church. I need to start reading my Bible. I just bought my first Bible. I'm going back to church. I'm going to church for the first time. Like, over and over and over and over again, you get that. And I think it's because we feel this sense of like, I don't know, like what we've been doing hasn't been working, and maybe there's another answer. And this feels again like we've been a little bit lost, trying to navigate our way. Like we need a course correction, we need a map, some guidance, we need some direction in life. For some of you, I mean, that's your story. Like you came back to church over these last couple weeks, and it had been a long time, or maybe even never. But there was just something. You're like, I need some kind of map, some kind of direction, some kind of guidance in all of this. In the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament of the Bible, it's a book of wisdom. It says this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The truth is, I think for most of us, we lean on our own understanding all the time. Right? We lean on our own understanding, our own thoughts about it. We'll Google it, whatever. We'll talk to other people. We'll just follow our heart, which, by the way, is a horrible idea. Right? The Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things. And there's lots of times that you can, if you think back on your life, where if you would have followed your heart, it would have messed you up. Right? Or you did follow your heart, and then you're like, whoops, that was a bad decision. It says, don't lean on your own understandings. Instead, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, I'm going to acknowledge God as the one who guides me, the one who leads me, the one that can give direction. And then listen to this, that if we'll trust in the Lord with all our heart, not lean on our own understanding, but instead we'll acknowledge him. Listen to this promise he makes. He will make straight your paths. That doesn't mean he's going to make them easy, that you're never going to have any issues, that if you just kind of follow him, like, everything will be, you know, rainbows and unicorns. No, but that he will make straight your paths. He will guide you. He will lead you in life. We're in this series, Finding My Faith, or Find My Faith, and it's not just finding our faith. It's not even just finding our way back to God, but it's that God is actually pursuing us. Like Pastor Chris talked about last week in his message, he talked about the Bible passage where there was a shepherd and 100 sheep, and one goes missing, and he chases after the one and brings it back home. God is pursuing you. He's pursuing me, drawing and directing us. Finding your faith isn't about finding religion, but following a Savior who pursues you, who welcomes you with open arms, who invites you to follow him and pursue him. And he wants to lead us on the right course, to lead us away from wandering and feeling lost. And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what your story is, how far you've run from God, his arms are open wide to you, and that has always been the case. The Bible is an incredible collection of books. You know, 66 books that make up the Bible. So if you think about the Bible, it's not just necessarily like one book. It's like this library of books put together, written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors over three different continents, and yet it tells this one compelling story from beginning to end of man and woman chasing after all of these things and always seeming to get lost, to not be able to find their way. And God's rescue mission for us, ultimately by sending his son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, to make a way for us to be made right with God, that God has been pursuing us, that in the middle of our wandering and lostness, that God chased after us and invites us into relationship and invites to make our paths straight, to guide us along the way. In the Old Testament, we see that in one way with the Hebrew people. They were enslaved in Egypt, and after 400 years of slavery, the people calling out to be rescued, God sends them Moses to rescue them out of slavery, to bring them out of Egypt and to the promised land. And it says this in Exodus chapter 13. I'm going to read a couple passages from Exodus and then Numbers in the Old Testament, way at the front of the Bible. Exodus chapter 13, verse 11, it says this: "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. And this allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from his place in front of the people." Like, God was leading them by this pillar of cloud and then this pillar of fire at night. And he would go above them and in front of them and lead them along the way. It was like this kind of this physical picture of a spiritual reality. It was God's presence there with them, leading and guiding them. And it was this kind of point-by-point navigation. Like, where he would go, then they would go. When he would stay, they would stay. And wherever that cloud stopped, the people would set up this tabernacle, this big, huge tent where the priest would go to worship the Lord, and the cloud would stay over the tabernacle as they brought offerings to him. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 20, it talks about that. It says this: sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, and so the people would stay for only a few days as the Lord commanded. And then at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight and lifted the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. What's interesting, by the way, is that, you know, they struggled so much on their way to the promised land that some of them actually wanted to go back to Egypt. It probably was because of all the camping, right? Like, they just had to, like, are you kidding? Like, we got to break camp again. We got to set up camp again. Like, this is ridiculous. If you've ever went camping, you know this. You could go for a week or you could go for a day. Your whole car is just packed for one day and everything is dirty. Everything's horrible. They're camping all the time, right? So they break camp. This Old Testament cloud was a physical picture of a spiritual reality. God was going above them and in front of them, leading and guiding them along the way. But today, God's presence isn't with us as this physical cloud. But for those who are followers of Jesus, his presence resides inside of us to lead us and to guide us along the way. If we're willing to follow him and pursue him, he says he will make our paths straight. And we need to follow him the same way that they followed him. Where he goes, they'll go. When he stays, they'll stay. When he moves, they'll move. When he speaks, we listen. When he leads, we follow. And all of that is bringing us then closer to the heart of God. For a lot of us, we're trying to lean on our own understanding, trying to figure out our own way. I can do it. I can figure it out. I think this is what's going to be best. We're pursuing our own agenda, chasing after things that the world says this is how you really experience life. And the truth is, like, how's that gone so far? Like, for most of us, it hasn't gone great. And when we look around our world, we look, that doesn't seem like that goes great. I mean, you just think about simple things like if it was all about money and fame or whatever, like Hollywood would be the happiest place in the world. And you look and it's just like disaster after disaster relationally. Finding your faith isn't finding religion, it's following a Savior, someone who wants to make your paths straight, to bring you out of the wandering, to rescue you like that shepherd and the sheep. It isn't about even just getting somewhere, it's about getting to know someone. And so if I'm going to find my faith, I need to follow Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it's in the New Testament of the Bible, kind of towards the back. Paul, the author, was writing to the church at Corinth, a place where, man, it was kind of like the Vegas of their day. He says this, he says, don't you realize, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, don't you realize that your body is the temple, the tabernacle, in other words, of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? In other words, as a follower of Jesus, we have God's Spirit residing in us to lead us and to guide us. He says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. That high price was his son Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins to make a way for us to be made right with God. So you think back to the Hebrew people being led in the wilderness, and where the clouds stopped, they would stop and they would set up the tabernacle. And so that when people read this, when this was written, they would immediately think about the temple in Jerusalem. They would think about the tabernacle and the wilderness wanderings. And in that tabernacle, there was another kind of inner sanctum called the Holy of Holies. And the cloud would once a year kind of rest over the Holy of Holies. And the priest would go in once a year. They would go in and bring these offerings to God. It's like this moment of like meeting God like face to face. And what this verse tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, is that when we follow Jesus, we have God's presence with us, not just once a year, not once a week, but always. And we don't need a priest or a pastor to go between us and God. We can go directly to Him. That you have God's presence with you always. If you're going to find your faith, it isn't finding religion. It's when we follow Jesus. And here's just a couple of verses about what that can mean for us. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and He said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow Me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life." And doesn't our world right now feel a little bit dark? He says, if you'll follow Me, like a light, I will lead you. Paul wrote to the church at Rome some 2,000 years ago. Find it in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. It says this, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Me. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." We're going to leave that verse up there for just a moment. He says, "I pray that God, the source of hope," your source of hope isn't your relationship with somebody. It isn't your bank account. It isn't your job. It isn't your health. It isn't all these other things. It all can be fine and good, but the source of hope is God. He's the source of hope. Every other place that we want to put our hope ultimately will disappoint us at times. One, we're just human, right? Our health will fail. You know, jobs can come and go. Like, it will disappoint. The source of hope is God. And He is the one, it says, that will fill you completely with joy and peace. Will fill you completely. My favorite coffee shop in the area is Upshot. That's where I kind of go. I'll go there maybe once or twice a week, early in the morning. I'll work for a little bit there. And I'm convinced that they fill the cup all the way up as far as they can just to watch people try to take that back to their seat, right? Because I'm just like this, trying to walk, you know, with this cup. It's like filled to the brim. And what He's telling us here is that God is the source of hope, can fill to the brim in your life joy and peace. And who doesn't need some joy? And who doesn't need some peace in their life? He can fill to the brim joy and peace, which means that He can fill that to the brim even when life isn't joyful, even when your life shouldn't seem peaceful, that He can fill us completely with joy and peace. Now, how does that happen? Because there's like a condition on that. Okay, it's not just because. He says, because, here's why, you trust in Him. Like when we trust in Him, He can fill up to completely full, not half full, completely full, our life with joy and peace. It says, then you will actually overflow with confident hope. Not because of your ability or my ability, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit can help you actually have a confident hope. You can be filled completely with joy and peace because He's the source of hope. But that happens when we trust Him, when we trust Him. If you're going to find your faith, if you're going to strengthen your faith, it means steps of trust. It's trusting God to do what only He can do and what you know because you've experienced it, you haven't been able to do on your own. You haven't been able to do yourself. I just want to encourage you today, you are not here by accident. God's love for you, for me, for the world, means that He's pursuing you in big and small ways and has been your entire life, whether you've recognized it or not. God's been pursuing you. You're here not by accident, but because God has been pursuing you. Jesus tells us a parable in the New Testament that's oftentimes called the parable of the prodigal son. In that account, Jesus tells the story of a young guy who decides he wants his inheritance and he wants it now. In other words, he kind of wishes his dad at this point was dead so that he could get his money. And he tells his dad, "Listen, I want my inheritance. I don't want to wait. Just give me my money now." And his dad does. And his son basically goes off to what would be considered Vegas and blows it all, like partying while living. He just He just wrecks it all. It's all gone. He ends up homeless. Then there a famine hits the land, and he decides to go back home, partly because he's like, it can't be worse than this. Like, he's pretty sure his dad won't want anything to do with him. Like, his dad's not going to welcome him home after all that he said, after all that he's done. He told him good riddance and stuff. But he's like, where else am I going to go? I might as well just try it. Like, maybe he'll throw me some scraps. Maybe I could be like a slave to him. Like, whatever. Like, it can't be worse than this. And so he heads back home. And I love in that story, there's a part where it says, while he was still a long way off, his dad saw him. That tells me something about his father. It tells me that his father was looking for him. His father was waiting for him. And I wonder how many days his dad went out to the road and looked down the road and stood there and waited. And a friend of his or another son of his or family member of his said, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. Just move on. Like day after day, he looks down the road. And then this day comes, and he sees the dust, and he sees his son. And he goes running to his son, and he throws his arms around him and hugs him. He doesn't even give him a chance to say, hey, Dad, I'm so sorry, I was wrong. He just throws his arms around him. Like his son is home again. And you can picture it, can't you? Like maybe, honestly, you were that wayward kid. But can you imagine having a wayward child like that? And maybe for some of you, you've had a wayward child like that. And they said they were done. And they said they didn't want anything to do with you. And they were out. And, they, you know, forget it. And I'm out. And they said some things about you that you're like, man, how do I ever get past that? But it's your kid. And then one day you see them coming down the road. And you just sprint for them, right? And you throw your arms around them. They're home. We have a father who is just like that with us. For some of you, if you're honest, that could be your story with God. Like for years, you're like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want anything to do with him. Whatever. Like something happened in your life. You felt like God should have showed up in the moment. He didn't. You're like, I don't get it. Forget it. Then I'm out. Maybe you had a bad experience with other Christians or whatever it was. Like you just walked away. But then you walk through some stuff and some difficulty in life, and whatever reason, like you came back, and maybe it's your first week back, maybe it's been in the last couple weeks, maybe it's been months or years, maybe it was another church, maybe this church. But you were pretty sure when you walked in, like the walls would cave in, the building would catch on fire, the lightning would strike, but it didn't. Like you're still here. We have a God, a Heavenly Father, who loves us, whose arms are open wide to us, who welcomes us home. He not only welcomes us home, but he says, okay, now let me lead your life. Let me lead your life because I've got good plans for you. I'm a loving father. I want to course correct. I want to make sure that you're moving in the right direction. I want you to experience the right paths for you, not to be lost, not to be wandering. I want to help you navigate this crazy world that we live in. You aren't alone. Here's a couple of the ways in which he makes our path straight, in which he welcomes us home in that way. One, he finds us. As what Pastor Chris talked about last week with the shepherd and the sheep, he finds us. He pursues us. He also guides us. He guides us. As we trust in him, he'll make our paths straight. He's like this eternal spiritual maps app for our lives, leading and guiding us. He guides us in a number of different ways. One is through his word, the Bible. God's revelation of himself to us. And if we want to get to know him, we need to spend time in his word. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll get one. You see anybody up on stage, we have Bibles here. We'd love to give you a physical Bible. Otherwise, you can always get the Bible app, and it looks like that icon when you look in your apps store. Get that one, and it'll show you can read through the Bible that way. There's reading plans. It makes it easy and simple. Anything that you're going through, you can look up a reading plan on that, and it'll give you a list of verses and devotionals to help you walk through that. But God guides us through his word. He guides us through prayer. the opportunity to talk with him, that we don't need a priest, we don't need a pastor to go between us and God, that we can actually go directly to God himself. And there's no magic words with prayer. You can simply talk with him. Some people even picture like an empty chair sitting across from them and just having this conversation with them and God. And we need community. We need other people who are moving in the same direction as us to walk with us on that journey, to help us take those steps of faith. We need those people in our lives. God guides us through that, through others speaking into our life who are pursuing and following him. He also steadies us. He finds us, he guides us, but he also steadies us when we stumble. Psalm chapter 23, or 27, or sorry, Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24 says this: "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they'll never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Now, you could look at that and go like, well, that's the godly, and I'm not really godly, whatever. I love that he says, those who are pursuing him will stumble. Like, we're all going to stumble a time or two. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to trip up a time or two. But he says, I'm not going to let you fall. I've got you. I'm going to hold you by the hand. Jennifer and I, we have three boys. Our youngest one, Will, got married a year ago, right out of college. And we had met her parents, briefly, once or twice. I think we met them briefly. She was from the other side of the state of Michigan. We were from one side of the state of Michigan. They met at college. And so we met them a couple times. They were engaged. It was a couple years ago. They were engaged. And her parents invited us up to a cottage in northern Michigan for the weekend. So it was going to be her parents and us, and Will and Katie. And it was the first time that we were actually going to really spend time with them and get to know them and kind of, you know, measure them up, and they were going to measure us up and all that kind of stuff. And so we'd been traveling and visiting some other people in Michigan, and then we went up to their place for the weekend. And we got out at the cottage, and I grabbed like my suitcase, and I had a couple other bags, and I'm like, I'm loaded up, you know. And we walk in to go into their cottage. Will and Katie met us, and they open up the door. Mom and Dad are inside. And I went to go up, there's two stairs, and I had sandals on, and like the lip of the sandal caught the lip of the step, and I just went like flying into their house, like on the ground, like bags flying everywhere. I'm laying on the ground, I look up, and there's her parents, like, nice to meet you. You know, like it was so embarrassing. It's like I was, my toe was like bleeding, like it was like a mess. And I'm sure they were like, this is... All right, this is going to be a weekend, right? You know? I think for so many of us, your stumble, although maybe embarrassing, although maybe you were ashamed by it or whatever, your stumble doesn't need to be your story. And for a lot of us, our stumble becomes our story. Our stumble, when we look in the mirror, that's the thing that we see. And our stumble becomes this story of our life. You do not have to live in the shame of your stumble. Because although you might look in the mirror and see that, God does not. God does not. God doesn't sit there and look at you and think, oh, yeah, but they did this, and this happened, and that happened. But don't we live there so often? And all of a sudden, that stumble becomes the story of our life, and it's like we just stay stuck. We, Heavenly Father, came to set us free, to bring us freedom and hope and life. And when he looks at you, he does not see that stumble. Instead, we have a Heavenly Father who says, let me pick you back up. Let's keep moving on this journey. Let's keep walking along together. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. And for some of us, we have to just reach up and take his hand, because we've been stuck in our stumble. It has become our story. And it doesn't need to be. He invites us into freedom. He also reroutes us. He reroutes us. God lovingly reroutes us when we get off course. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says this, "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.'" God wants to guide you in real time, rerouting us when needed to protect us, to guard us, to lead us in his good plans. It's like we go off course and it's like God's saying, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. Like, let's move you back onto a straight path. Let me guide you. Let me lead you. Jennifer's dad, so Jennifer's family, her dad lives in Florissant. He's lived there. He's lived in St. Louis all his life. He's 85 years old. He's lived in the same house for like 63 years. He knows St. Louis streets backwards and forwards. He grew up more in the city, Baden and other places, and then he's been out in Florissant. Her brother lives in Maryland Heights, and when we came here to Grace River July of 2023, we came to interview here at the church from Michigan. And after we spent time here, we had a couple days where we could spend time with Jennifer's family. We went over to her brother's condo, and her dad had said, like, "I want to take you to the hill, and we're going to go to this place, Favazza's." And he made, which I don't think you have to at all, because when we were in there, it was like, there's plenty of space. But, like, he made reservations, and he was very sure, like, the reservation, okay, the reservation's at 5 o'clock. We got to get there at 5 o'clock, right? You know, that kind of thing. And so we got there at her brother's house. We got to the condo. I'm driving. And when we got in the car, I typed in Favazza's in my Maps app. And her dad is like, "What are you doing?" You know, kind of thing. Like we don't need the map. What is it telling you to do? Where's it telling you to go? And that's not the way to go. I don't think we should go that way. We never go that way. And her brother's like, "Yeah, we never go that way." And it's all this stuff, you know. Like, I'm like, I'm just following the lady, the British lady. She knows. And he's like, "No, like, this is the way that you go." And so I turn off the map. I'm like, "Fine. Well, where, how are we going?" And some of that. We go about 6 minutes down the road. We're on the highway and dead stop. There was like a police thing with like some car that had been stolen. They threw out the stuff to stop it. And traffic is like dead stop. And we're like, the British lady always knows. Like, this is what we should do. There are so many times in life where we think we know what's best, where we know the way. We don't need the Maps app. We don't need that. But like Jen's dad, we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know the pitfalls that might await. We don't know what's happening up around the bend. We can't see it. That's just that we can't see it. Can we trust God as the one to navigate our life, that his ways are best, that he sees so much more and bigger than we do? He says, this is the way you should go. Sometimes the Bible will use the word discipline to talk about this loving reroute. We don't love the word discipline, but when you think about it from like a parenting perspective, right, loving discipline is meant to protect your child. Like, you see something in them, you know, like, this is dangerous. And so I need them to get it, because if they don't get it, it's going to lead to so much more pain later. Like, I need them to understand. And you're trying to protect them, and you're trying to guard them, to watch over them, because you know the heartache and the pain that can come from that if that's left unchecked. And God, in his loving reroutes, understands that there is pain ahead for us oftentimes, that there's difficulty ahead for us. And so he lovingly reroutes us, gives us that detour to protect us, to protect our hearts, to guard us. He can be trusted. He has good plans. Listen, the God of the universe loves you. He wants to guide you, and you need him, and I need him. So I want to give you a couple just next steps as we wrap up this morning. Number one, would you trust the navigator? Would you trust the navigator? I'm not talking about some blind leap of faith, but would you trust the one who has proven himself trustworthy? As we look through the pages of the Bible, we see his trustworthiness, his faithfulness. As we look around the room, and I know so many of your stories, you've seen God's trustworthiness and his faithfulness. So can we trust him in that? We constantly get lost in life's decisions and directions and relationships, and And even if we think we know, like Jen's dad, so oftentimes we can't see what's around the corner. So will you trust the navigator? He isn't promising a shortcut. He isn't promising just this easy path. But he is promising to make our paths straight, to bring us stability, to guide us, to lead us. Secondly, would you take the turn-by-turn navigation? Sometimes you wish that it was like this, where God would go like, here's your life, and lay it all out for you, and you'd be able to see all the way down the road. And sometimes we're like, man, I would not want to know that. But that's not really how God works. It's turn-by-turn navigation. So would you say yes to the next step? Would you just say yes to the next step, to the next turn, and then trust him for the next one? Like, what if you could begin to stack yeses? Just stack yeses. I'm going to say yes to him at this next turn. And then I'm going to say yes to him at the next turn. And then yes to him at the next turn. And just see what God will do. We take the turn-by-turn navigation. Maybe for you that yes was to come to church for the first time. And maybe that next yes is to come back. Maybe that next yes is to start reading your Bible. Maybe that next yes is to get into a community of faith with other people. Maybe that next step, that next yes is to surrender something to God. Maybe that next yes is to make things right with somebody where a relationship has been broken. Just say yes to the next step. Third, would you rest in his reroutes? Would you rest in his reroutes, his discipline? His reroutes are for our good. Sometimes that might be a closed door. Sometimes that might be some kind of detour along the way, some delay. And a lot of times we even go like, I don't even understand why he would be against this. It doesn't even make sense. Like, I feel like this is what God would want, but we can't see around the corner. We don't know all the different ways in which this world is working, in which God is moving, and we can trust him that he hasn't forgotten us. We can see his track record. Detours are often part of his direction. You can't see the road close sign, the tree down, the power line in the street. Can't see around the corner, but he can. He sees you, you matter to him. Fourth, would you follow his map? He's given us his word to guide us, to lead us. Would you let his word do that? Spend time in his word getting to know him. Let him lead you and guide you. Do that in community. We've already started our small group semester for this semester, but we have a connection group that meets here every Tuesday night, 6:30 to 8 p.m. There's 50 or 60 people that gather here, and then they split up into smaller groups. You can jump in at any time. You can jump in and be part of a community that will be encouraging you along the way. In the last chapter of the book of Exodus, which chronicles those Hebrew people moving from Egypt and slavery into the promised land and into freedom, in the very last verses of the very last chapter, it says this in Exodus 40, 36. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. If the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night, fire glowed inside the cloud so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. God continued to lead them all the way to the promised land. His presence with them and above them and in front of them, leading and guiding them. And God's presence is with us to lead and guide us all along the way as we pursue him. Leading us out of the wandering, leading us out of the lostness. And we're simply called to follow him, to go where he goes, to move when he moves, to stay where he stays, to lead when he follow, to follow when, where he leads, to listen when he speaks. For the person who's been in faith for a while, you may be following Jesus for a while, what would it look like for you to really trust him? Really trust him with those next steps in all things, that point-by-point navigation. Just let your yeses begin to stack. Yes, I'm going to trust him in this, and then I'll trust him in the next thing. I'm going to trust him in the next thing, and then the next thing, and see what he might do. And as you trust him and he proves his faithfulness, it will give you the courage to take the next step and then the next one. This is not a time to sort of follow. It is a time to push your chips into the middle and go all in. For those of you who might be kind of new to faith or coming back to faith after a long time, what if you just took that next step to follow him and then the next one? Like, what if you just said, for the next 6 to 12 months, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to take some steps to follow him. In many ways, like, what do you got to lose? Right? We look around at the world around us. We've chased after all these things, and we end up staying at the same place going like, I still feel lost. I still feel directionless. And so what if you just said, I'm going to say yes to him. I'm going to give this a shot. And over these next 6 to 12 months, I'm just going to keep saying yes and see what God might do. If you're going to find your faith, it will happen by following Jesus. I'm called to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you would help us to do just that, to trust you with all of our heart and in all of our ways, to acknowledge you, that you would make straight our paths. God, would you help us to just say the next yes, to trust you to be that one who can lead and guide us along the way. God, would you help us to be people who say yes after yes after yes to you and your ways, to trust you in the reroutes, to trust you that you'll pick us up when we stumble. And God, that stumble wouldn't be our story, but instead we would in freedom begin to move forward. God, would you help us to do just that? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I want to let you know, next week, Find My Faith, week number 3. And there's all sorts of ways to get connected here at Grace River over these next weeks. Maybe your next step is baptism. Maybe your next step is volunteering or jumping in. Those are all happening. Why don't you stand with me as we close? Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving and serving here. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next week.